Welcome to Packet Pushers Heavy Networking. In today's sponsored show, Coda Lime is diving into success stories from working with their customers on custom software development for software-defined infrastructure. Now, Coda Lime has a specific focus on network engineering. That is, they do custom software development for their clients with a focus around network engineering. Now, on Packet Pushers, we've talked lots about NetOps and developing code for your organizations. And many of you know the first steps are often difficult or take an extended amount of time. Or in the second phase, after you've proven that coding is useful to the organization, all of a sudden the scope starts to get a lot larger, you get more ambitious, and then you realize you need some help. There's some ways you might want to hire more people, but you might also want to turn to an organization who helps you get through the first phase of the coding. And that's what Coda Lime does. One way to handle this increase in scale and reduce the time to value is to partner with a company that's done it before, keeps the right people around, knows how it's done. And Coda Lime has deep expertise on networking and network management, network monitoring, and network visibility tools. Coda Lime has an in-house code team for developing customization and integration to other tools, including open source tools and a range of various forms of customizations and enhancements, from simple activities like customizing a Grafana dashboard to integrating multiple SDN platforms to actually become your network automation platform. And they work both open sourced and closed as well. So not just locked into one particular vendor, they're across the spectrum. So in today's show, we aren't talking about products and technologies. We're discussing customer use cases and the projects that Coda Lime has delivered and what they've been able to deliver with their custom development work. So thanks very much for joining us today, Monica. Monica is the head of research and development at Coda Lime, and editor is a senior project manager, Willing Victims on the Line at Packet Pushers. Why don't we get straight into, let's do the pitch on Coda Lime again from your point of view. What is it that you tell customers about? Who is Coda Lime and what do you do?
All right. So Coda Lime is a service provider in the networking space. We've been providing expertise in the areas such as SDN and NFV, SD-WAN, IP and PLS, and network monitoring since 2011, I think. We are also one of the main Tungsten Fabric contributors and a Linux Foundation member. So I think currently we have more than 200 network, software, and DevOps engineers on board. We cooperate with networking hardware and software providers and telecoms in the US, Japan, Israel, and Europe. Our portfolio of clients includes tech startups and big players, and the most often it is long-term engagement with our clients. So in a nutshell, we are a service provider. We don't develop our own product, but we provide expertise and tech teams to our clients to help them build, develop, and integrate their solution. For example, we work with network monitoring solution providers to help them design and build an effective and user-friendly visualization of network topology and network monitoring data. What else can we do will be covered during this podcast.
Okay. I think a couple of takeaways that I got from that is, one is that you're doing software development for vendors as well as enterprises, as well as service providers. So you're actually already a well-established company and you're right across the market. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you're not, Lynn, like somebody who's just got a couple of developers out in the back room. I've got this idea that you're pretty well-established in the organization and you've got a substantial portfolio that if you wanted to hear more information, you could contact you and you could point fingers at customers that you've worked with in the same sort of categories.
Yes, of course, we can do that.
All right. So let's start off the discussion and sort of talk about how Coda Lime works and what you can bring to a potential client. And that's what we want to talk about, is how you engage with customers and what sort of problems that you're solving. And that's the discussion we can talk about. And I think the first part is something that Ethan and I have talked about on Packet Pushers a lot, which is this evolution towards ever more complicated networks. We have, you know, the old days of just having routers and switches and then dedicated point-to-point circuits is pretty much gone 5 to 10 years ago. Now we have SD-WANs, we have software-defined campuses, we have, you know, data centers with multiple SDN systems, and then we have cloud. We've got this whole complexity going on, and you're sort of working with customers in helping them to manage that.
Yes. So basically, if you just mentioned the network monitoring and all management system, that is true that what is happening is like moving things around. So there's not like just a simple, I would say, underlay layer. So yeah, just like you said, we have not only routers or switches or firewalls, but we have SDNs, we have VMs, we have DCs, we have clouds, mm-hmm. both on-prem and public. And it's mixed and matched together just to provide the solution. So yeah, it's happening, right? So what we are actually doing is that we see that nowadays monitoring is like a broad subject. This is something that it's happening, and as you said, it is happening, right? Mm. So we're not going to discuss why the monitoring of that such let's say a construction like we have the network nowadays is important, because I assume everyone knows here it's kind of important, and. Mm. The monitoring of that network is actually a key to your business. You have to know what's going on, and you have to know what's in the network, like I would say. So you have to just be prepared for knowing what's happening. So you must be prepared in like two options. First, if something is happening, you just need to know it immediately before it hits your client. Yeah. The other way is something that you have to prevent for the future. Because if you have growing network demands or, I don't know, bandwidth demand or resource demand, you have to predict it like quite fast just to know that you have to upgrade. And as long as for the public clouds, it's imminent, for the underlay, it's a process.
So this is kind of the story that we see a lot coming out now, where the challenge that I think many people have is they've got lots of networks. Once upon a time, you had a WAN or your campus or a wireless, and they were just discrete and separate. Whereas now they're very much meshing together, and you might have an MPLS WAN, and now you've got an SD WAN, and now you've got a remote access WAN, and you've got all these things. And I think we're seeing this switch to having visibility and monitoring and analytics to try and stitch the network together. Is that right? Is that what I'm sort of hearing?
Yes, that is exactly the case, because when you have such a dispersed network, it's geographically dispersed, it's different solutions, different hardware devices, different software solutions, you have to be able to see it as a whole. And the question that comes to mind is actually, what do we actually want to monitor? When do we want to monitor? What's it's missing? What we should focus on? Is it the control plane? What do we see from the management perspective? What's happening on the data plane? What layer am I exactly talking about? So the problem now is, or rather the challenge is, that you have to look at all layers at the same time, where some things being in the public cloud are somewhere. You don't even exactly know where.
So Monica, one of the things you mentioned earlier as we were talking about monitoring is you need to know when something's happening. And then you just gave us all the different layers where things might be happening. Can you drill into that more concretely? Because we're not talking about red light, green light, and circuits going up or down. That's very tedious and obvious kind of stuff. Give us some examples of some of the more nuanced, more detailed sort of things that might be happening that we might care about and need to make some adjustments because of.
Yeah, so right. What you said is very easy, right? So we have what we had was like routers, switches, like, I don't know, simple point-to-point connection. So when the connection is down, you just know it. But now we are talking of over the top, right? Over the services that runs in overlay, that you have the DC somewhere and you have your workloads again somewhere. Those are DVMs or containers or whatever you are using. And suddenly your service doesn't work. And what do you see? Because only thing you can see from the point of view of the service is it doesn't work. But is it actually the network connection, like the physical one? Is it the node that failed? Is it the SDN, so the overlay network in the DC, or maybe just the SDN that is working that is working on the machine? So it's not that easy anymore to depict the difference. So we just have to dig, and we have to go through all the layers from the underlay, so the transport layer, towards this this application layer. So where the problem is, you just have to really know where it is.
Yeah, it's so far beyond now simply that physical layer that we all know and love as network engineers. Now it's this layers stack providing all of these different services, which, I mean, isn't depending on the kind of network you operate, admittedly, that's not new. We've had that with MPLS and Layer 3 VPN and so on for a long time. But it's becoming everywhere now with overlays becoming even in the data center where you have to be able to deal with that kind of stuff. And so being able to monitor so that you can get right to the root of why you can't connect to the thing is critical. I think you're making a great point there.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm thinking because the other thing is then the old days, it doesn't sound nice, but I would say the old days, what we were seeing is that they were people that were doing some kind of deployments. They already knew where this stuff is. So they put their device, they put their connections, and they exactly knew what's happening. Now, with the automation in place, those things tend to do themselves, right? You don't really know where they are.
Mm.
So that's more complicated to monitor because first you have to check where you have your things, then what's happening, and then try to figure out what the problem is.
So, Dia, I want to throw to you, you're in the project manager and you're more of turning this into reality. When you're working with a customer and they sort of say, I want to monitor the network, how do you turn that into action then? We've all said we want to monitor the network and everything's complex. If I was a customer and talking to you, what's the sort of steps that you would take to break down this project into something that you could start working on? And, you know, when we engage Codalime to do some work.
So first, what we need to do is to analyze the environment of the customer. So as Monika already said, today's environments are very complex and differentiated. So we have a mix of bare metal, on-prem solutions, old data centers, private and public clouds, and everything is joined together. So additionally, automation, orchestration, SDNs, that can help to build the environment, but at the same time, it complicates even more the entire monitoring process and its visualization. So first thing we need to do is to analyze what the customer already have. The most probably he will have few monitoring tools already. It won't cover the whole view, but he monitors some parts of his system. Mm. In this case, we can propose few different solutions. First of all, such customer can replace all tools with the new one that enable him to monitor a heterogeneous environment. Mm. Such new monitoring solutions are available on the market, but companies are usually not willing to replace existing and battle-proven tools. Mm. So he can use already existing platform that will serve both as an integrator and aggregator for metric from various sources. It should be open solution with public REST API and or plugin framework. Or we can create dedicated solution for this client. This solution will aggregate data from other monitoring tools, adapter for network devices, collecting data via SNMP, via SSH, etc.
Right. So you'd sort of start by looking at what they've got and then determining with the client if that's going to work out. You know, do they want to keep it? Do they want to ditch it? Are they willing to ditch it?
Exactly.
You know, and then it's one of those difficult things. A whole professional services engagement is always a give and take. It's not, you know, just one thing. And that whole process of saying, well, I've got this management tool, but I don't really like it. And I've got this management tool. This is one I want to keep. You know, another one of my favorite ones is we paid a lot of money for this one, so we have to keep it, which is always, you know.
Yeah. Let's be honest. All of us, we look at the cost. If you paid a lot of money for something, you just won't throw it away because you realize you don't like it. You just have to make it work.
Yeah, I'm one of those people where if it costs
the reports, you know.
Honestly, when it comes to network monitoring, I sort of look at these tools and the more it costs, the worse it probably is, you know, because it was built in a different, in an old times. Most modern monitoring solutions are really quite cost effective and they're not a huge money these days compared to where they were. One of the things that I think is really interesting about working with Codalime is that you are willing to do software development. So once we've engaged and done the analysis, you're willing to actually write a custom engagement to write software. Now, I kind of imagine this is where, let's say I've got a software management tool like, you know, VMware, and over here I've got a Cisco management tool, and over here I've got some Oracle systems, you know, whatever. And now I want to bring them together. I want to unify the monitoring into one thing. How do you go about defining a custom engagement like that? Because I think that's not something everybody's done.
Yes, this is something that we also can do, and we basically do right for our customers. Because what you said is really a really common use case. People or our customers, they have different monitoring tools for different parts of their environment. And obviously those tools first, this is what we said, they were already paid for and they are working. The second, they are also management tools, so they will be there and they will stay for a while at least. So they don't want to resign from them. And they also bring some value for the engineers, because those engineers can look at them and can use them to get the information they need. But still, if we are talking about different solutions, they only rely to a different parts of the network. And you don't really have this holistic view of the network. So what we do for our customers, we can provide, I would say, a cup. It's not maybe the best word, but some kind of cup. So integration of all of those tools to put another layer on top that will gather the data, that would create a solution that would let's say, take all of them, provide the data from them, and just present them at one, I would say, UI. The other idea is completely different, how to present the data, how to make those data visible and valuable. I'm pretty sure that Edita can say a lot more than me about that.
Oh, yes. Monitoring data visualization is something what I really like. So I will jump in. And in this case, we can start for, I like the idea. Is there one reliable indicator of the performance of your environment? Can you imagine one? Something that you can assign a smiling face or a sad face, something like, I think, updates in APM. Mm-hmm. And theoretically, yes, why not? Because you can create a complex KPI. But if you consider carefully, you will quickly come to conclusion that who will be using something like that? Only managers and business users, because they need to put that into report and they need to determine quickly whether the environment is performing well or poorly. That's it. Nothing.
Yeah,
That answer, nothing more. So if you want to gain a real insight into what is happening in your network, many more indicators or metrics are needed, such as latency. Are we under 100 milliseconds? Packet loss, bandwidth versus throughput. What is effective usage of our bandwidth? Jitter, what disrupts our packet flow? Availability, connectivity, traffic, ingress, egress, etc., etc. So this brings us the next question. What is the best way to visualize that? Of course, any time series data, we can visualize using different type of charts. Line, area, bar, stack bar, etc., etc. This is classic approach. Right. You can use something more fancy, like matrix. Show your latency on the matrix.
So okay. This all sounds like user experience or user interface design. You're not just coding things up. You're actually getting into the details of a user interface design here.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, we have actually a dedicated user experience team that does those analyses, and they provide their input, obviously very valuable. And then we have the UI team that does the whole front end. It's not only the back end. It's not only integrating data, but also showing them to our customers.
Yeah, so, user experience is more than just looking pretty too, by the way. It's actually...
It's not only the visual components like visual widgets. It's design the flow for the user. Try to make any integration like one-click integration. Use your data metadata, meaning if you can automate something for the user, do it. You already have that information in your inventory. Just use it.
Yeah.
Everything like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a color scheme. It's actually things like workflow and how do people see things and the way things are. It's weird. The best way I've ever described user interface is, there's a big difference between a newspaper and a magazine. And one of them is sort of the same format all the time. And a magazine is carefully designed each time to be as impactful as possible. And that's the difference, I think, sometimes. Or it's a very simplistic way of looking at it, at least.
Yeah, I would probably agree, although I'm the rather the newspaper type of person. But obviously you're right. So from my perspective, what we are talking about from the user experience is just what Edita said. So we have to think what kind of information we will present to our user. They don't want to have 1,000 KPIs. They will say nothing. They need to have carefully crafted number of KPIs that actually provide the valuable information.
That's so it's not one KPI and it's not 1,000 KPIs. If you have 1,000 others before your eyes, you will see nothing. You start looking over them in 1 minute, 2 minutes, and then you are done. So what you would like to have, you would like to have the main metrics, possibly a dashboard separating, let's say, your staging environment from your production environment. You don't want to mix the data. Mm-hmm. But also, it would be perfect if your tool would tell you, okay, your failure was caused the most probably because of that. So we've got some fault domain isolation or root cause analysis included. Then you are in perfect world.
Right. So it sounds to me like Codalime is also bringing their expertise as networking people to the software development process. So you're not just saying, we're software developers. You're actually saying we know networking and we can write code against that expertise. And that's part of what makes you different.
Yeah, I think that our expertise or our strength is because we not, I wouldn't like to sound bad, but we just not do stuff. Our main focus is that we understand what is needed. We understand the network. We know the great network from the ground up, right? So we have the experience. So we also know the challenges and we understand the needs. So we try to solve the problems and meet the needs rather than just do the tools that will show data. So this is something that we treat as our base. So we solve problems. We visualize data.
I want to ask a weird question because I understand that you solve problems. What happens if the customer doesn't actually know what the problem is? Like they're not, a lot of times people say, I know it's broken, but I've got something wrong, but I don't actually know how to fix it. How do you, are you able to attack that in some way?
Yes. Again, we say yes, but yes, troubleshooting and doing all kind of analysis, that's also something that we do. This is what also Edita said at the beginning. We start with the analysis because we just don't do things because we are asked to. We must understand what we are doing. So we do analysis, we check, we verify, we discuss, we ask a question, then we discuss again, and then we propose a solution which we will implement. It's a long process. It's not very fast, but to meet the requirements, to meet the needs, to actually solve the problem, we need to dig into it and understand it first.
Mm. So let's talk about some example engagements. What we wanted to do to try and bring out the idea here, as well as to give people useful things to take away from listening to the discussion, is how do you engage a customer when the engineer says, I need to deep dive into the network. I don't just want a high level view of red, green, because I could have done that myself. How would Codalime then engage to do something deeper in the network?
Okay, so we have we have some experience. And if you can imagine that you have a customer that, for example, said, all right, we've been thinking and we have just chosen one tool for the monitoring. It seems we like it. It meets our requirements. It has the required functionality. So we just want to do it. And we actually have this, we come for the situation that they say, okay, this is what we have. This is what we want. But we have a problem because the tool which we've chosen doesn't really support all we have in the network. Even if we have, they had a network which is fine, which is working. It has some legacy devices, but they are working. Again, changing them, it's cost and it's completely unnecessary and it's a long process, investment, unnecessary risk, so it will stay. And they say, we have a choice. We either start with what we have, with what we were using up till now, but without the required functionality, or we will bring the new tool, but we will lose some of our monitoring expertise because we will not include all the devices we have. And this is what they have. They have the choice. And what we are saying is neither of the choices is good because what you should do, you should have the new tool with all the devices and all the systems included in there. So what we are proposing to such customer in such cases is that, okay, this is a nice tool. We can integrate with it. We can write you a sort of adapters that will talk with the old fashioned, with the legacy boxes. We will use like normal stuff for that, like SNMP or a SAGE event to get the data. So we will write the adapter. We will contact with that boxes. We will get the data and we'll put it into your new tool. So you still have this 100% coverage. So this is something what we said to our customers. Do not sacrifice your needs because you just don't have something from day one or from day zero. This is something that we normally help with.
Monica, you've said tools several times. Can you give us an example of the kind of tools we're talking about? We talk about like open source stuff like Prometheus and Grafana and these sorts of things that can help with visualizations or things they might have invested in that they bought from a vendor. What are we talking about here?
Actually, we took both, right? But nowadays, let's be honest, there are many companies who are interested in open source tools. So that means that we work with them. We work with those graphical interface tools, those systems that gather the data. We use message buses if this is necessary. But we can also work with closed source tools, so with the vendors, just to provide the functionality that is missing at the moment, and it's not covered by the tool. So we can do both.
So part of the challenge then is you're needing to take data from whatever the data source is that doesn't fit day one, and you got to take data from that device via, I was laughing when you said, you know, normal, like SNMP or something. You're going to then take that data via that normal method, normalize it into something that the tool can ingest. And effectively, you've made a bolt-on. You've added a feature to that tool that they want to use, that they can see everything that's in the network.
Yes, that's the call because we all know that now we are talking via the APIs and the legacy stuff, it's not really API ready. So you have to make some middleware, something in between that will just do translation from one to the other.
So is your middleware typically an API approach where you'll fetch via the legacy method and then present an API on the other side or?
That would be the I would say the normal approach because the most of the systems we work with, they just use API on the input side. So this is what we provide.
Got it. Sure. Yeah, that does seem to be the way. And increasingly, well, I guess network engineers in this case maybe don't have to care that you've presented an API, but network engineering as a discipline is becoming increasingly familiar with how to read API documentation, how to understand the data set that's coming back from the API when you do a given call. And that's a normal part of network engineering operations these days. So that seems to fit well with what folks are doing in modern environments.
I would hope so, yes.
You would hope so. But, well, it isn't a given, is it, Greg? I mean, there's still a lot of folks stuck in the past. What do you mean SNMP is legacy? By golly, yeah. It's the best ever, I thought.
I know. MRTG and CACSI and all those stuff, they look nice, right?
Yeah. Well, they're useful and they're quick. And you get a quick win from deploying those low complexity.
Yeah.
You get a high value from getting it done. And it doesn't take much to get a system deployed. But what about things like configuration drift? What about, like, thresholds are fine, except what you really want to know is this threshold passed for the 15th time today? You didn't really care on the previous 14. You actually need some sort of intelligence. And passing the threshold might not necessarily be bad if the database is under load because it's the end of the month run. So there's much more complexity that can be put into these systems. And a lot of the time series databases, as opposed to graph databases or other systems, you really want to start doing correlation. And this is one of the areas where I think is really important, where you have an SD-WAN platform over here and a data center platform over here and a cloud, multi-cloud network thing or a cloud system. What you really need to be doing is correlating them together so that if something happens in one, are you seeing impacts in the other? Is that something that you see asked for a lot?
Yes, it's happening because nowadays I am sure that I can add more to this, but this is something that's happening. You need, because what you're really sick is not the data. You just seek information. So if something is wrong on it, some threshold is crossed or something has flipped for the 100th time this day, you should know about it. And most probably you also would like to know the reason for it. But at least you should understand, and you should be warned that there's something weird, something unexpected happening, and this is your warning. Take a look at it. I don't know. Probably Edita can add more to that.
That can be a possible root cause. That can be competing root causes. And in this case, user, I suppose, would like also to know what events or alerts were correlated, and our module responsible for anomaly detection said, okay, possibly this is your problem. So he would like to know what way we got the answer, plus if there's any other data or information we can use, like maybe device log.
How does cloud fit into this? Because it feels like the context of this has mostly been devices that we own, things in data centers and colos and whatever that we operate. But cloud networking is also complex and needs data normalization and needs inclusion in the overall system. Do you deal with that at all?
Yes, of course. From our perspective, we treat cloud and cloud workloads on any cloud. By any, I mean private and public, as a normal workload. So as a normal, I wouldn't say device, that would be not the right word, but this is something that we also monitor. And from our perspective, if you have a service and that service crosses the boundaries, it's geographically dispersed, it's on the cloud, you still need to understand whether the service is on or off. So if you have, I don't know, IPsec tunnels towards the service, so towards the cloud, this IPsec tunnel is your connection, your link. You have to monitor it as well. If you have the connectivity towards the cloud, that's pretty much the same kind of networking as the legacy. I wouldn't say legacy, but it's the old underlay network. It's still the network. It's just realized in a different way. So you have to monitor it the same way you do for the underlay, and you did for the past 20 years.
Yeah, that makes sense, the way that you would think about it that way, because you have to. That is, there is no more choice in the matter. And I suppose you made the bold claim, we can deal with any cloud. Well, right, if there's an API out there, you're very comfortable with dealing with APIs, pulling in that data and presenting it. So I'm assuming that's the magic there. There's an API on whatever the cloud is, and therefore you can access that network data and integrate it. Am I thinking about that about right?
Yeah, exactly. Because nowadays APIs are more and more common. They are used. Whenever there's API, you can get the data. If you can get the data, you can put it into the monitoring system. If you can put it there, you can analyze it, make correlations, and give the answer.
Mm. And more importantly, I don't have to rely on a vendor to do it for me. A vendor takes a certain look at their devices or their networking services that they offer you, right? So if you're monitoring an MPLS network, each vendor has their own way of implementing their monitoring systems, and you just get to suck it up. You just get to take whatever they give you. Whereas what you want sometimes is to do some customization. And I think having someone like Codalime in your toolkit means I can go to you and say, can you take this data that they're providing me, but represent it in a different way so that I can see it differently?
Exactly. Again, I'm pretty sure that Edita can say more about it, but this is what you get. You have the data. The data is there. You can get it why one way or the other. It's not that really important, because we were talking about these adapters we can write, so we can use them to get the data, but it's completely other story what to do with the data. You have the data, but you still have to have the intelligence behind that to make it useful for your customers.
We can look at that, okay, like our layer that we can add to this is like a glue. It's kind of hybrid view, hybrid map, heterogeneous topology, however you call it. So this will be your starting point in the system. From this point, you can drill down, or you should be able to drill down to any sub-environment specific data. Is that an adapter, or is that another monitoring tool, etc.? That's all. So you have access to everything.
And again, just the way we engage with Codalime, so often people come on one of the Packet Pushers podcasts and are talking about a product. But the product here is Codalime's development team building a custom solution for you. It's not buy this tool that we're selling you and do a thing with it. It's a fully custom solution that you're ultimately building for your customer, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't sell products. To be fair and straight, we don't sell products. We sell the solutions, which is customized, which is fit for purpose, which is built on purpose, which we are very flexible in building.
So that is why I said that first thing that we do, we analyze. We analyze what is going on in a new customer environment.
Yep.
And it's tricky, isn't it? I just wonder how many times you work with customers and they've never done customization before. It can be tricky to, after years and years of just buying something off the shelf and then using what's made available to you, SNMP, like you said, or you know, whatever the command line is, actually doing customization is a tricky thing. You need to be very careful about what you ask for, because everything that you ask for, you can have. You need to be smart enough not to buy everything or ask.
Sure, it is tricky, but most often people start to look for another solution or to enhance their solution when they got some failure and they didn't know about it. So when you had experienced something like that, then you start to look, okay, we are missing data. We see only parts of our system, but we couldn't predict that on, let's say, Black Friday, it won't work.
Right, getting into that predictive model of things, so which actually just triggered something in my mind here. Okay, we were talking about cloud, integrating a whole bunch of different systems into one viewpoint, one understanding of how things are working as a system. Does Kubernetes factor into this at all? Because if I am leveraging Kubernetes, that impacts everything we just talked about, because things change and things are dynamic.
They are. It is, but it's pretty much this. I mean, you're right. From Kubernetes, this is what I said, especially on the public clouds where you have, let's say, I wouldn't say unlimited, but almost unlimited resources. So you can move things around, or rather not you move. They move themselves around. You never know where everything is. That's why the monitoring is quite important. But at least one thing that it's easier here regarding this predictive predictive stuff and planning is that when you use Kubernetes, which can scale itself, or the workloads can scale if this is needed. So this is, you don't have to care about prediction much. It will almost always work. You only have to monitor how much resources you are using, and as a result, how much you will pay for it, right? It's completely different stuff when it comes to the, I would say, underlay, where you have to work on the capacity planning in advance, because the investment process takes time, takes money. So it's still the same monitoring process. You just have to use it in a different way.
That's right. Yeah, you end up with two different perspectives on the same thing. On the one hand, you need to have capacity available for Kubernetes to leverage. On the other hand, Kubernetes as a scheduler, if you've built out your workloads correctly, it's going to scale automatically for you as long as it's got resources and capacity to draw from. So do you actually talk to a Kubernetes cluster? Can that become part of my monitoring, or is it something that you're, you know, kind of aware of, but it's off to the side?
So basically, we work with all kind of, I would say, systems or platforms. Kubernetes being one of them, but the same way we can use, I don't know, OpenStack, for example. So from our perspective, we integrate. It's not even that we choose only one and integrate the monitoring system or even into the solution. We are used to working with all of them. We just integrate it into one. From the user perspective, although it shouldn't be. It shouldn't matter whether they hold their workloads on the Kubernetes or OpenStack or even bare metal servers. From their perspective, they should know only, do we have the resources or not, or we will run into an issue in 5 minutes.
I mean, you're making it sound like it doesn't matter what the platform is, you can deal with it. And I get that that's the point. But that is a big claim. In other words, the number of systems and the number of data points that you're talking about integrating and presenting a monitoring interface to the customer, that's a really big deal and difficult to integrate. And large networks will hire teams of people internally who are dedicated to doing nothing but that, because it's that challenging of a thing. And this is one of the things you folks are able to do. That's why I want to drill on that Kubernetes point, because it's kind of a big deal.
We're not saying it's not challenging. What I meant was that it shouldn't be matter from the user perspective.
Right.
They shouldn't be caring how much work we put into it to make it work. From their perspective, it should be just one click.
But just that you can do it is a major
selling
point.
Yes, we can do
it. Hey, if I talk to Codalime, now that we've got Kubernetes on board, they can integrate that into our view as well, which for someone who's unfamiliar, that is not a minor undertaking.
Kubernetes networking is entertaining, shall we say.
Yes.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, there's so much opportunity for stimulation and excitement, shall we say. Well, I think we're reaching the end of today's show. I want to thank Monica and Aditya for coming on the show today to talk about Codalime and the sort of idea that about building custom software and in the networking environment. I think this is quite a unique product. So, Monica, where can we find out more information about Codalime?
You can find all the information about Codalime on our website, which is codalime.com, which is Codalime, hopefully I spell it right, .com. And obviously you can also read our blog, which is codalime.com/blog, where we have some articles on the things we are thinking about. So I encourage you to visit that.
That's right. Thanks very much for Codalime for sponsoring today's show. That's Codalime.com. So the blog post is actually quite interesting. They've got some useful articles in there that got me thinking about different ways where you could engage a development company to do something differently. The one that actually I haven't got yet read because it's quite long is Programmable SmartNICs Controlled by Onos Using P4 Programmability, which is talking about a project that Codalime delivered for a customer. Thanks very much to Codalime for sponsoring today's show. Without them, we wouldn't be here to be able to bring you this a wide range of fine, free technical podcasts, and along with our community blog at packetpushers.net, we just couldn't bring them to you without our sponsors. You can follow the Packet Pushers on Twitter as @PacketPushers. You find us on LinkedIn and like us on the Facebook if you must. And last but not least, remember that too much technology would never be enough.